Hello guys, it's Timmy Sims and Lexi 2 out for a beautiful, gorgeous, lovely night walk. It is almost the middle of December and it's like spring. Wish there was a way to take a snapshot of a smell. You ever have those smells that take you straight, instantly, straight to a childhood memory or remind you of somebody? And just, you know, wish there was a way to take a snapshot of that. There's this smell I've been smelling when I walk late night downtown with Lexi and we pass this Greek restaurant, and I'm sure it's grease or some form of grease, but it reminds me of this restaurant, this little restaurant when I lived in this small town in Michigan. I think it was called Twin Oaks, and it just smelled like old-timey diner. And I remember one time walking into Twin Oaks, and it was really weird. I looked down, and there was a candy bar wrapper, and I picked it up, and there was a $20 bill inside it. And I got spanked because my dad didn't believe me that there was a $20 bill wrapped in a candy bar wrapper as we walked into the restaurant. Not only is it a gorgeous, beautiful, misty, foggy night in St. Joey Town, but now I get to hear my favorite sound in front of me. Love the sound of a train at night. We hear you, train. I don't know, guys. This looks like a long train. It's kind of sad. Can't believe I'm going to say it, but they put up the Christmas lights out on the bluff that overlooked Lake Michigan. And there's a sign I never noticed before, and it said, danger, no sliding or rolling down the hill. And it just reminded me of the Peanuts cartoon. I don't remember which one it is, but there was this thing about where Snoopy couldn't go. It's always, no dogs allowed. Everywhere he went, and I'm like, you know, you guys just know how to put the pooper on a evening. Of course, if somebody slid down the hill or rolled down, they would roll right into traffic. But I can't believe I'm saying this. You know, I don't want to say it. No, I can't say it. As much as it's so nice out and is so gorgeous and so pretty and, oh, the smell in the air, it doesn't look right without snow. And yeah, next week, you know, I've worked like these ungodly, horrible, oh, don't even get me started at work. But I'm sitting here. Bonnie, Auntie Bonnie, took my dog to the beach in shorts last week or this week. Send me a picture. Ah, thanks. Here's a picture of us at the beach. I'm in shorts while you're at work. I can't argue. I was swimming in the water in November. It's been a while since I've done a little talky talk and not a conversation talk. And I'm kind of liking the conversation thing. That's why I want to get a better setup so I can do a real conversation. But I like the dinery sounds or the being out in a coffee shop sound as we talk. And you know, maybe talk about some serious stuff and some funny stuff and all that. A few weeks ago, my nephew died, and he was my niece's husband. And the sad... Lexi, get over here. The good and the bad of it is that he died, very sad, just before Thanksgiving. They met, she was not supposed to have children, and they met at a storybook romance, fell in love, and have two gorgeous, beautiful children. And he went in, had some weird, bizarre thing on his brain, pituitary gland, something. And they went in, supposed to have been a, you know, simple procedure. If you're going to have whatever this is, cyst something, it was good to have whatever he had, but it turned out that he had some rare disease that is only usually in women, and very few women at that, and hardly ever in men. Something about the brain, the membranes of the brain that separate the brain and whatever, and really didn't come out of it. It was like I had to live my mom situation all over again. Got the phone call, simple situation, simple procedure, laughing pictures of him with the cross, like, dig here on his forehead. He, you kind of want to get mad and angry. Yeah, it's one thing for someone to die, but it's something even worse to have to decide to pull the plug. And all that time it takes to make that decision, and then all the time it takes to for it to happen. It's an odd situation because you spend so much time crying and saying goodbye that when there's an actual funeral or celebration, you spent all your tears. When it happened, my brother was on the way to the hospital. For some reason, I know he's cheap, but I know he asked me to buy him a pack of cigarettes. And this is a macho, and he thinks he's so macho, so butch, and a hunter, and all this stuff. But I know I went fishing with him when I moved back from Chicago, and he had the Village People soundtrack cassette tape in his truck. But he doesn't care. He loves his disco, even though when I was a disco king and whatever, you know, made fun of me, called me fag, just like all of his friends. I told him, I sent him a text, I said, I'll buy you cigarettes, but you are not allowed to buy me, or I said, this is the only time I'll support your habit, but you're not allowed to buy me a shot of Crown. It was funny. But we went out for a cigarette smoke, and while I bought the cigarettes, I found the biggest, pinkest lighter they had in the store. Now, don't you go nowhere, boo. It was raining. We had to go off campus of the hospital in this big old kind of like bus terminal station thing that you wait for a bus. and just stood there and talked. And it was the first time he and I talked in a... I can remember that time we spoke, had conversations, spoke, like, of length other than weather. I don't care if he hears this. I don't care if I have his permission to tell the story or not, but he came back from Desert Storm, and he wasn't well. I thought he got discharged, but he did. They gave him some situation where they give you a choice to reenlist or get out, and he took the out. And, he was dealing with demons I didn't know he was dealing with. He worked overnight, had situations with his wife, and almost lost her, and he kind of told me he had to deal with his demons inside, with her, with him, I mean. I've now coming up on a year of my total body detox, and it hasn't been easy. I've had my pink clouds and love my pink clouds, but you know what? It is so nice. You know, I'm out of shape. Work has changed that. When I changed work for locations, kind of threw my routine off, and but the half-hour talk, you know, he said something. He said something to me. He said, and he used to beat me up. And not so much him, but he would hold people down and let them beat me up. Remember one time I couldn't eat for a week because the inside of my mouth had canker sores or sores that I couldn't eat or swallow or anything, and he was just mean. He was just not right. And as we talked, there was just so many things he came out. I asked, you know, my mom had gone, and I just came out and said, I miss my brother. And he said, well, I didn't think you'd ever talk to me again. He goes, I thought you'd hate me. He was so looking for our stepdad's love and attention and acceptance, and was jealous of me of all kinds of things, and was never there. And I just looked at him, I said, you're my big brother, I love you. I'm always going to love you, I need my big brother. And I said, I don't have to forgive, we all went through stuff. But to be able to stand there and talk to him, in less than a half hour's conversation, and during this tragedy, get my brother back. And I've never not loved him. Never could understand why we were never close. Never could understand why my sisters and I were close. And then my sisters ganged up on me too and said that they felt like we left them. And I don't care if they hear this or not, but I told them, I said, you know what? It's not my responsibility or my duty to make sure you're happy. My duty is to myself. And it takes two people. It takes two ways. You know, I'm a busy mom. I'm a busy person. Well, you know what? I'm only one person. I'm not the one that needs to do all the schlepping. I've done this whole year, which was not easy, by myself and with my chosen family. It's hard to be upset that Nick is gone. Well, I mean, it's easy. It's just always seems like always something going on, always something happening. It is so pretty out. I'm off for the next 2 days. And you watch, I'll wake up tomorrow and there'll be like 10 foot of snow outside. And after all of this and everything I've been doing, I do these gratitude lists. And I know that is one of the reasons, one of the main reasons how and why and it's good and it's blessings that every morning I send out these gratitude lists to people, my lists, and I at first told my friend Bonnie that I wasn't going to talk to her and for that day or until she sends me her gratitude list. And God bless that woman, she did, and we've been doing it since like June. I know I've missed a few days out of being a poop head, but she hasn't. So when you're going through some poopiness in life, you know, or work sucks and things suck, or they just aren't what you want them to be, you know, I'm just automatically looking at all these things I want to add to my list. So it's like I've not knowingly helped myself by training myself to stop and smell the roses. You know, the way something looks, or to take a picture, or, you know, think of things that I love, that I'm happy for, I'm grateful for, that's not just two eyes, two ears, two nose, or plugs in like an iPad or something. And just read this incredibly wonderful book called A Man Called Uwe, O-V-E. I haven't remembered the author's name. I'm Raven At. God, it's like dedicated to like every curmudgeon you've ever known. And I think I was like him. He fell in love. If you've seen the movie Up by Disney Pixar, you know, it's almost like that. And especially if you loved the love he had in that short time, that perfect movie moment. They did in a cartoon what most movies in 10 hours couldn't do. And told a whole simple, sad, wonderful, beautiful story. And this book, this guy, this man, grew up a certain way, fell in love. She, you know, she died. And during the book, he tries to commit suicide to get back to her, to get with her, because he missed her and loved her so much. And every time he tried to do it, some neighbor or somebody or something, he had to stop and go help somebody. And by the end of the book, he's like this, you know, grandparent to these Iranian family, and even a story where he takes in the kid that was kicked out for being gay by his dad. And then at the very end was so bittersweet and loving and wonderful. And during like every other chapter, once it got going, is they were retelling the story of him and his wife and these little lessons, how she was such a good person and a loving, giving, wonderful person, and saw the happiness and gratitude and blessings and things which helped him, and turned out to unwillingly not be the curmudgeon he wanted to be. And I'm just like, that is so me. I read it twice so far. Highly love it, recommend it. My new all-time favorite book, next to and alongside of The Man Who Fell in Love with the Moon. It feels like I haven't done one of these conversations in so long. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to say anymore. Things were kind of tough for, well, has been, up until a couple days ago, since Nick died. I got into a funk, got upset, got mad. Trying to pull myself, you know, these like mean reds hit. And I'm turning and I'm finding out that, I don't know, through the life and choices I'm now making, that one of the things of the man called Uwe was that when she died, there's a line, I can't remember it exactly, but He didn't die with her. He just stopped living. And I don't know if that was because when my mom died, and there was another line about somebody that you bury who knows you so well, buries a part of your soul with them, and you spend whatever time trying to reclaim that. And that's kind of where I feel like I was. You know, Audrey died. And I just use that as an excuse to just stop living. And now I think with Nick, you know, the world tells me I should be sad, I should be mad, I should be angry, I should be shaking my fists at God. But when I look around and I have two ears, a nose, eyes, I can smell memories that take me back to childhood. I have my health enough, anybody in this world, I shouldn't have it. Higher power, God, or whatever you want to call it, got me through so much. And I've got to surrender to whatever. I got to believe that whatever grand scheme of things, that I am exactly where I am supposed to be. I keep thinking that since I've been being such a good boy, where's my gold? Where's my God? Where's my rainbows? Well, they ain't not going to come walking up knocking on my door. And I'm finding the more I'm out there with people, helping people, the happier, the better, the less lonely I am. And I'm not so lonely and lonesome anymore. Yeah, who doesn't want to have somebody to curl up and snuggle up? And why isn't there an app out there for instead of, you know, like those Grindr apps, which I have totally deleted and have not even checked into or looked into in months. They say when you stop looking, it'll happen. And you know, I'll be ready when I'm ready. I'm not in such a rush anymore. But why isn't there an app that, like, hey, let's come on over, let's take a nap, or let's come over and cuddle, and then go home and get out of my hair. That's what I would like. I have this funny, wonderful friend that has listened to my insanity and my craziness and put up with my ass and put up with my dramas and not giving up on me. I haven't had that in a really, really long time. I got a great bunch of guys in the mornings that I meet Monday through Friday that love and care and concern for me. I used to think that I would probably fall over and die and nobody would care, nobody would notice. But I have that now. I got a dog I can't see because she's the cutest thing ever. And maybe I don't like where I work at the point, but what I'm doing, you know, it's with people I do like, people I do care about. And then today, oh my God, there's this little old lady. I'm standing in the door and she's like, aren't you going to say hi to me? And I look and I don't see nobody. She's like this like tiny little black lady. And I'm looking at her. She said, you better smile at me and say hi. And I said, hi, what's your name? And she's like, Alma. I'm like, hi, Alma. And later I saw her. And she had a Coke and I bought it for her. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm buying you Coke. And she's like, I'm going to be 91 years old. And I'm like, when's that? When's your birthday? And she goes, February 17th. And I said, Alma, my birthday is February 19th. She just thought that was so great. And she's like, let me give you a hug. And I'm like, oh, Alma, I love you. And if I don't see you again, you use this hug as a birthday hug. I also have a group of senior citizens I go to on Wednesdays. And gosh, you know, when I walk in and they see me and their eyes light up and smile, and I can sit up there and talk about whatever bullshit, silliness I want to talk about, and they listen. I don't know where that happened. I don't know where that came from or when that happened, but when I speak, when Timmy speaks, people listen. Bonnie says, it's your voice, it's your command presence and all that, but I'm not going to argue with it. It's funny sometimes. Like now, somebody at work was saying how they hated Tim. They wanted him fired. And another friend or another person was like, Tim, I love him. I love him. What are you talking about? And they go, well, this Tim. So there's another Tim that's out there at work, and which I never remember. And it's really funny because I'm not the evil Tim anymore. There are people worse than me, and people go out of their way to tell me they love me and adore me, and there's Tim and missed me. And I got so much to be grateful for. I got so much to be happy for. I don't want to ever go back to that sad, miserable loneliness I had. Yeah, I need to get back to the gym. And maybe I got the blues. It's because the blues, you know, it just means you're sad and fat or, you know, just tired, sad. The mean reds, I don't find I'm in so much anymore. I'm actively choosing. Nope, not going to feel that way today. Nope, not going to do it. That's not me today. I'm not going to do that. It's so funny because now when I'm doing my gratitude lists, I'm normally doing them in the morning because that's when I send them out. I'm doing them during the day so that when I wake up in the morning, I can just hit send, it's done. And it makes so much sense because then I'm not forgetting anything. And now I've been keeping track of them. And someone's like, you should probably put those in a book. And a writer friend of mine said, they're like little poems you send me. This old Tim now you listening to, that ain't me. That wasn't me. It's like, what is it? Today's the 12th. 13 days to Christmas, December 25th, when I decided to be done with all that silly shenaniganery. Shenaniganery, hashtag Timmy Sims. And I'm good. It's so funny. I'm good. I got this. If I compare this to the last one I did last year, you know, I still get sad. I still get mopey. Things happen. Life happens. Terrible, tragic things happen in the world. And it's, you know, it's not, I'm not going to let it affect me. I got reasons. I got way big reasons for me to be sad and mad and upset, but I'm not going to let it ruin my life. And I think that's my higher power. Uva. Now on, I'm just going to think, what would Uva do? All right, y'all. I got to go. Take care of you.